Well, we know it's not a Monday. Usually it's a Mike Grimm Monday here on KETE, but Mike was on a plane making his way to Phoenix, Arizona on Monday. Nice enough to join us here on this Thursday. Mike Grimm, of course, the voice of Minnesota Golden Gopher football and men's basketball, sports director of the Minnesota News Network. And Mike, a good afternoon, and thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, as always, we couldn't quite work it out on Monday. We were actually taking off about the time we normally would do our thing, so I'm glad we're able to chat a little bit, and I'm glad we get to talk about a Gopher Bowl win.
Now, I do have to ask you, and this is more of a broadcaster asking a broadcaster, I could tell last week during one of your Golden Gopher daily updates that maybe the vocal cords were going a little bit, and then I heard you during the men's basketball game say, I hope my voice holds out. Whatever was going on, you did awesome, because as a broadcaster, I know what that feeling is when the voice starts to go away, and it stinks, absolutely stinks.
It's the worst, and this was an especially bad one. Over the course of my time, I've had a few of those. When I first got to town, I had young kids that were coming home from elementary school with a petri dish of stuff, so I'd catch one or two colds every winter. And I don't know, it's an occupational hazard, obviously, but, obviously colds attack different people different ways. and you can still see I'm clearing my throat a little bit here, but for me, my vocal cords, get inflamed and agitated when I catch a cold, which is not great for the business. The family business, is relying on some talking, right? So
Correct, that's
not awesome. So what I did back then, drink a lot of tea, do throat lozenges, do what you can. And then my kids got to college, and I hadn't had to deal, and then COVID, no one's around anywhere for the last year and a half, around anybody. We're all wearing masks and everything else. So I hadn't had to deal with one of these probably for about 5 or 6 years, I'd say. So I had a nice run. And, yeah, it was brutal. We did get through the game. And part of it, and you know this too, is you kind of get a sense of what athletes go through a little bit. And I'm not trying to put myself into that situation. But, a guy's dealing with an ankle, and you're like, can you go? Can you play? And you just got, aside from physically not feeling great, you've got that kind of hanging over your head as well. Where, gosh, can you do it? And you got to put in contingency plans. And, for us, it's not exactly like, hey, just call a guy up from the taxi squad. We had a few contingency plans in place. And as luck would have it, I was able to get through the game. But, man, the post game, we let Tollickson do most of the talking on the post game. That was last Wednesday, a week ago last night. And then I basically shut the voice, the vocal cords down until the bowl game. And I felt great. I thought, we didn't have any voice issues with the broadcast on Tuesday night from Phoenix, so that was good. Our only issues were, and again, people don't care, but this is, just broadcaster to broadcaster. We were broadcasting from the Arizona Diamondbacks, because it was the baseball field where the game was, from their radio booth. And I'm a guy that I can broadcast from most locations. I'm not a there are some guys in the Big Ten, and they're all good dudes, but there are a couple of guys that are, you got to have us on courtside for basketball.
Yep.
That's the best view. And, if my main thing is space. I want some space. I work with a guy that's almost 7 foot tall, and our engineer is, engineer is one of the best in the business, but when you're one of the best in the business, you bring a lot of gear. And that's why, whether the announcer sounds good, our broadcast always sounds good. It sounds great. He's got, he mixes hoop mics and basket, floor mics, and same with football. He's got microphones all over the stadium. So, I always say, you listen to our game, it sounds big, even if the announcer sounds like crap. But my point is, we got an engineer who brings a bunch of stuff. The guy I sit next to is about 7 feet. So in basketball especially, space is what I'd like, to give us a little room. And so it was beautiful from that standpoint. There was a huge radio booth. We, like, Daryl Thompson was in another zip code where he was broadcasting from within the same booth, right? Literally, there was you could have sat 15 people along the front where the radio booth was. The bad news was we were in the end zone.
I was going to say, ask you that, yeah.
Yeah. So, because home plate is obviously down in front of us, and home plate in this case, how the football field was configured, was in the very corner and out of the end zone, so beyond where the end zone would be. So the other end zone was probably 150 yards away from us, not like sideways, but you know, parallel with us, I guess is how I would say it. We were kind of angled to the left. So from that point of view, and again, I get it. We tried, and quite honestly, a lot of the plays when they got past midfield on the other end, I was just calling off the TV monitor because you really couldn't tell. You couldn't tell what yard line it was on. So hopefully we didn't confuse anybody. We got everything going, but so it went from worrying about my voice. So once that sounded solid to let's call a game here that people can understand what's happening, when we really don't have the greatest view of the field. But at the end of the day, it was a really fun trip. They got a nice win. They dominated the game. I mean, it was 18-6, but that, you know, was just a few plays away from being like 35-6. Yep. You know, the way that Minnesota played, they kneeled on it late when they had it first and goal at the 5 yard line, 6 yard line, whatever it was. So that, you know, they could have potentially punched one in there. It was a beautiful drive to end the game, just milking the clock away, much like they did in the Outback Bowl. And then, they missed a field goal and fumbled at the 5 yard line. So there were some chances that could have really, been an impressive score. It was an okay score, but it's a fifth straight win for a program that is now starting to, you know, stack some bowl wins together and gain some confidence when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Mike Grimm with us here on KETE. And Mike, we got to talk about a touchdown call that I think is going to go on forever. That first touchdown, Daniel Falalele. I know I said that wrong, right?
No, that's right. Falalele. Falalele. Yep.
Now, and he's a lineman.
Yeah, and a big one at that. You know, when he first got to town, so he's 6'9", which, that's a big enough man anyway. and then he is, when he first got to town, he was about 405. He's about 380 now. They trimmed him down a little bit, but he's still a large human being. And so before we get to the touchdown call, I think your listeners would be a little interested, by way of background. You know, you think of that, you think he's 405 pounds, and you think, well, he just must be, you know, just have fat everywhere. He just must be, you know, a blubbery guy. And he is not. He is proportioned right. I mean, if he's just standing there, like if he's just standing in a big room by himself with nobody around as a comparison, you'd look at him and you wouldn't know he was that big just because he looks like, you know, usually if someone's big, they like me, you got a big round belly, right, or whatever. And he does, but he also has big arms and he has a big head and he's got big legs. And so he just looks proportioned. It's like Shaq. You know, when Shaq is standing by himself, and there's nothing to compare it to, he looks like a dude. Well, then you put him next to a guy that's 6'7", and he dwarfs him, and you're like, whoa, man, that dude's a large man. And that's what happens with Falalele. He's big, and you're like, yeah, but if he's by himself just standing in the middle of the football field, he looks normal because he doesn't look, you know, like a misfit. Well, then you got Blaze Andrews, who's 6'7", 320, standing next to him, and Blaze looks like a shrimp, you know? So you're like, oh, that dude is a big man. So he's a big dude, but he runs well. He moves well. I mean, he runs downfield. He pancakes guys. He's going to get drafted. So he's an interesting case study. He started in Australia as a rugby player and evolved into a football player.
Yeah, I love the call because, you know, as a broadcaster especially, you get excited when somebody else is getting the football, especially a lineman. Anytime a lineman scores like a touchdown, if it's in college football or NFL or, in this case, running for a touchdown, these big guys do all the work. It's nice to see them get rewarded every once in a while.
Yeah, and, you know, now that it's, you know, past the game, and I haven't asked PJ Fleck about it, but my hunch is, that obviously this is something they worked on. This isn't something that they just drew up on a chalkboard when they got first and goal from the 2 and said, oh, let's give this guy a chance. Now, he had a touchdown in the spring game, you know, and we all thought it was just for chuckles 2 years ago. That was in 2019, April of 2019. And you know, we got a kick out of it, and nothing really, you know, after that came of it. And then this time, my hunch is, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more. Maybe they talked about it in the press conference. We were given a 3 minute window to talk to PJ after the game by the bowl game. They said you get him for 3 minutes. Normally, you know, Justin Gard would talk to him for 10 or 12. So we couldn't ask a lot of questions on our broadcast. But anyway, the point is, I'm sure they drew it up, and I'm sure they said, look, this is his last game. He's been great for the program. He's helped a little IMG Academy pipeline of guys come up here. There's three or four guys from IMG. On the team from Florida, And let's reward, as you said, let's reward the big fella. So if there becomes a goal-to-go situation maybe inside the three, we'll give him a chance. And so they did. And I'm sure that the same was with Brock Anikstead, as he held and got that extra point conversion on the touchdown. And I'm sure they said, the first time we get a chance, we're going to do it. The first extra point, we're going to do it. One, because you don't know if there's going to be a second or third opportunity. And two, let's get it away over with. And it actually helped. They got the two-point conversion and forced West Virginia into trying a two-pointer that they missed. But it was great. And then there was some drama with it, too, because it wasn't for sure a rock-solid touchdown. And so we had to wait for the officials to, run in and see where he ended up. And then it was a late signal and a touchdown. So with all of it, it was fun to see. And then there was some drama to whether it was a touchdown or not. And, it was a nice way to get on the scoreboard for sure.
Mike Grimm, voice of Golden Gopher football and men's basketball. Again, we're talking about an 18-6 victory against West Virginia in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. I do have to ask you, because I saw this on Twitter, was the field conditions not the best there at Chase Field?
Yeah, they were terrible. There were guys sliding all over. I mean, Brevin Span Ford at one point moved to go in motion and slipped and fell down as a motion man. The play hadn't even started yet. So, and it was two things. So, as we mentioned, it's on a baseball field. And I didn't know this until just before kickoff. They told us, and I don't know why. I'm not sure why. I know when, I believe when Target Field hosted their football games with St. Thomas and St. John's, and then they have North Dakota, and was it Butler maybe? And they just played on the regular turf, I believe. I don't think they changed it out. Well, in this case, they actually put a tarp down over the baseball field and then laid sod on top of the tarp and dirt. So that's what the guys were playing on. I think they felt like they didn't want to tear up the baseball field. So that already was a little dicey. I know the team went in for a team photo the night before and just to get it, just to get settled. And I was with them. And Mark Coyle, the athletic director, was out on the field, and he kind of came over to me afterwards. He's like, man, that field's a little wobbly, because the sod kind of squishes.
Okay.
And so he was already concerned. And then on top of it, Aaron, what they did was Chase Field is a retractable roof. It's a beautiful stadium. It's about 22, 23 years old, cost $500 million to put it up when they did it. It was one of the, first real state-of-the-art deals. And when you're in Arizona in the summer, you need a – one, you might want sun, but two, you might need some air conditioning. So it's a retractable roof. And so the idea was that the roof would be closed, and it was when we got there. Well, then I looked up and I noticed, man, it looks like it's raining. And I looked up and they had opened the roof right before kickoff, and it's raining on the field. And they did that because they had these paratroopers coming in with the game ball, and one had the American flag, and one had a Gopher flag, and one had a West Virginia flag. And it was just kind of some light rain. And then for about 5 minutes, it was a downpour. And it doesn't rain much in Phoenix. And I'm sure they did not plan on that. I'm sure if they had to do it over again, they would say, you know what, we love the paratroopers, but we better skip this. But the field was soaked right before kickoff, literally minutes before kickoff. It was a downpour. Like Justin Garter, sideline guy, had to go climb under the bleachers because he wasn't prepared for it. We thought the roof would be closed, and he didn't have any rain gear. So he's hiding under the bleachers, and the field got soaked right before kickoff, and then they closed the roof once the paratroopers were done. So it was a combination of factors, and, yeah, the footing was terrible. Both teams had to deal with it. One of Tanner Morgan's interceptions, I think, was mostly due to his receiver trying to make a cut, and the footing just gave way, and he slipped and tipped the ball as he was falling down right up into a West Virginia defender's hand. So it happens. And early in the game, the Gophers are getting some great pass rush, and I believe part of that was because the offensive lineman for West Virginia just did not have solid footing.
Mike, now before we stop talking football, and we'll let you go here in just a few minutes, I do want to talk about going back to offensive linemen, because the talk is obviously the Gophers have a pretty good line. That's the reason we've been able to run the ball so well this season. Do you see the chance of us having a couple of linemen drafted? And if so, do we have some first-round talent maybe in the NFL draft coming up?
Yeah. There's no doubt that there will be Gopher offensive linemen drafted. And remember, they haven't had a lineman drafted since Mark Sederstrom in 2006, which is remarkable, right, for a Big Ten program that hasn't been terrible. I mean, they haven't been on, like, Rutgers level. This team has been to bowl games on a regular basis since 06, right? They've had a couple of dips, a couple of new coaching staffs come in to rebuild some things here and there. But, you know, they've been pretty good since 06, not terrible. You know, they haven't been a championship caliber, you know, national title championship team, but they've contended a handful of times in the West. And for a Big Ten team not to have a lineman drafted is somewhat remarkable, honestly. I thought they had a chance with Jonah Persig. I thought, you know, he was a big guy that was really good and made all Big Ten, and he had a cup of coffee, I think, with the Titans, and he was a great dude, really liked him. I'm still surprised somewhere he didn't catch on. He's out of Blue Earth, but outside of that, they haven't had a lot of, you know, what I would call marquee guys. There's, you know, a handful, but no one's been drafted. That's the backdrop to what I'm about to say. Whether there'll be a first-rounder this year, I don't know. Fa'alele has a chance. I think that he will impress people at the Combine, one, with his size, and then I think he'll put good numbers in the run in relative to his size. In other words, a guy that size, they're going to say, shouldn't be able to run that quick, shouldn't be able to jump this high. And you know how they like the numbers. You know, the Combine is much more about the numbers than the intangibles. And then it's up to the Rick Spielmans and his ilk all over the league to decide the combination of the numbers with the intangibles, where is this guy supposed to get slotted. I think that Fa'alele will put up, relative to his size, really good numbers to where maybe some GM is going to say, look, man, one, he's young. He's only played football for 4 years, 5 years. And really, you know, it's been, you know, he didn't play last year, remember. So, one, wear and tear is not a big issue for a lineman like him, which normally it would be. And two, the upside is still there because he's still, frankly, learning the game, right? I remember early in the time, I'm trying to remember the situation, there was just like a normal play in football, and he messed it up. And we got talking to him, and he's like, I didn't even know that was part of the game. I didn't know that was a rule. And I forget what it was now, but it's like, oh, yeah, and sometimes you have to be reminded the kid hasn't played a lot of football. So maybe a first-rounder, definitely, you know, a day one or two pick. And then I think Blaze Andrews out of Marshall has a real good chance to get drafted, and I think he'll catch on. And he's a smart guy, too. He's physically imposing. And so I think he'll be an NFL player. And then Connor Olson, the left guard, who moved to center the other night when John Michael Schmitz got hurt, because of his versatility and his smarts, I think he's got a chance to play NFL football as well. Sam Schluter, the left tackle, he's been a four-year starter. It'll be interesting to see. You know, he maybe isn't quite as highly regarded from an NFL standpoint as some of those other guys, but he's 6'7", he's 320. He started in the Big Ten for 3 or 4 years, so I think he'll certainly get an opportunity, and if he finds the right fit, he could find his way onto an NFL roster. And then the center is John Michael Schmitz, and he's announced he'll be back. He probably would have been drafted, but he wants to come back and play one more year with the guys on the Gophers.
Mike Grimm with us here on Kate. And Mike, quickly before we let you go, Gopher men's basketball coming up on Sunday against Illinois. Were you already at the barn getting ready for the broadcast yesterday when they canceled the game?
I was. We found out about the team, and I found out at the exact same time Ben Johnson did. So I feel like I'm a very important person, right? the way we do this a little more inside broadcasting. The Gophers have their shoot around on for home games. They have a shoot around where the guys show up, they put up shots, and then they do their last minute scouting report. It's about an hour. And this is not, I mean, every team does this, so it's not like the Gophers are the only one. And so what I do is I go and I watch that, so I got a little idea what's up. And then after that shoot-around, that's when I tape the interview that you hear when Ben Johnson and I are in the pregame show. So maybe I've ruined the facade. Maybe most people think that was live, you know, 10 minutes before tip-off. But we tape that about 3 hours before the game. So in this case, it was 4 hours before the game because it was right at 3 o'clock. And I'm not kidding you, Aaron. I was like, welcome back to the Golden Gopher pregame show. Tonight it's, Alcorn State in Minnesota. Time to hear from Ben Johnson. And as soon as I'm about ready to start my question, Ryan Livingston, who is the operation guy for the basketball program, comes over and he says, "Yeah, don't worry about it. We just got an email. Game's off." So I stopped the recording and we're looking up. We're like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, the head coach just emailed me and said that they had some positive cases and they won't be able to play." So that was at 3, and then there was some phone calls and some emails just to get everything confirmed. They were in town. Alcorn State was in town. In fact, they practiced at Athletes Village Tuesday afternoon. And so that was the first thing Ben Johnson said was, we got to get the cleaning crew in there if they were at our place. And so I'm sure they got that thing cleaned out and sanitized yesterday. And so after it was all said and done, I forget, was it about 4 o'clock or so, maybe the announcement was made that the game was put off. So that's a little inside scoop on how that all unfolded. But, you know, and it's funny because I think we all get this idea, you know, and it is. I mean, it's a big business, but it came down to the head coach sitting at the hotel for Alcorn State in Minneapolis, emailing, not even a phone call, just emailing him and saying, sorry, the game's off. And that's how it all started. From that point, it led to a bunch of phone calls and text messages and things to confirm, and is there any way they can play it and different things. And I think it finally came to the point where Ben, this is me speculating because I was not involved in any of those conversations. They took those behind closed doors. But my hunch, after it was all said and done, is I think the Gophers really wanted to play because, you know, they hadn't played since last Wednesday. They've got the Sunday game coming up, but Illinois is in a little bit of a pause, so there's no guarantee that Sunday's game even happens.
Okay.
And so if they don't play that game, you know, they won't play again until the 9th, and you know, you're talking 2.5 weeks. So they really wanted to play. So they were, you know, hammering out some things. But I do think ultimately, I think Ben's like, look, we have not been hit with COVID. If they have a bug going through the team, let's push them to play. Let's see if we can get this game in. Keep everyone that's tested positive away. Do they have enough guys? And I think eventually it was just like, you know what, maybe we better not. And if the Illinois game gets postponed on Sunday, I don't know if the Big Ten will start trying to get some teams that, you know, are going to miss some healthy, you know, if there's two teams that are healthy that are sitting out because they're playing teams that are COVID, can those two teams instead play? And I'll promise you there's a busy day going on right now at the Gopher basketball office in relation to, if there's not a game Sunday, is there some team that can come and play a game? Somebody. Who that is, I don't know, and they probably don't know them, but I'll promise you there's some phone calls being made right now with all these contingencies possibly out there.
Mike Grimm, voice of Golden Gopher men's basketball and football. We hope to hear from Mike coming up on Sunday for that game against Illinois. Otherwise, we'll hear from Mike coming up next week here on KATE. Mike, thank you so much for the time. A happy new year to you and your family, and we'll talk to you in 2022.
Yeah, sounds great. We'll talk to you next year.